When I was growing up, the priest always started his sermons with, "In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen." Well, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Good. I thought I was the only one in the room with jet lag. Apparently, you're all... You must have come with us in spirit. 27 years ago, I went to Athens for the first time, and it was an interesting story about how that came about. I was at my position at the airline, and I was doing something very difficult. I was helping somebody, and somebody came up behind me with what we call payday raffles. Once a month they had these, and you know, some companies raffle off, I don't know, they raffle off you know, tickets to a movie or something. Well, we raffled off airline tickets. So first prize was a ticket for two anywhere in the world. This was a confirmed seat, not standby. And second prize was a trip for two to Athens. And I remembered thinking, well, I certainly don't want to go to Athens, but as a matter of fact, I won the second prize. I gave her a dollar to get rid of her. And I took a friend of mine, and we went 27 years ago. Sometimes my friend listens in on the homilies, so hi, Mike. He lives in Tucson now. But I mention that, first of all, because you never know when the smallest thing will change your life. And God is invariably at work in those small details. Don't you all know it? How many people got married because they found this person by some chance coincidence? Which is not really chance, because God is in the details. If I've seen it once, I've seen it 1,000 times. So we went to Athens on our own. Changed my life, as I shared with the pilgrims. The thing I really remember the most was how much that ancient culture gave to Western civilization. That you look at, for example, the Parthenon is considered by architects to be the most perfect building ever created 2,500 years ago. Makes you wonder how advanced we really are in our society. It was dedicated to the goddess Athena, and it remained so for about 800 years. Then it became a Christian church for 1,000 years, longer than it was a pagan temple. Then it became a mosque for hundreds of years. And that's why it's in such good condition. It was never out of use until the Turks stored gunpowder in it during a war, and it exploded. So it was in perfect condition until 300 years ago. And inside that building was a huge statue to Athena, long since vanished. However, archaeologists have dug up all these little mementos from that era of what it looked like. You know, little marble statuettes. Well, they have these for sale all over Athens. And so 27 years ago, I came home with a souvenir. I came home with a false god. I came home with a little statue of Athena Parthenos. It had Minerva on the bottom. And I put it up on the stereo speaker as a reminder of my trip. On the other stereo speaker, I balanced it out with a statue of the Virgin Mary. Now, the Virgin Mary has a snake under her feet. She's, you know, battling against the devil, you know. Minerva, on the other hand, has one coiled around her feet because she's at one with the snake, and it began to bother me. I don't know. I of course, I don't believe in Athena. I don't think anybody in Athens does either, but it bothered me, and eventually I really felt called to get rid of it. And so I gave it to the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Probably led somebody else into sin, but it's the souvenir that got away. And needless to say, I didn't buy another one in Athens last week, but I did find something surprising. When we checked into our second hotel, there in the lobby by the elevator was an exact full-size copy of my statuette, face and all. And there, I took a couple pictures of it. Some of the pilgrims were kind of wondering why I was taking this picture of a false god. And I said, you know, this is an old friend, you know. we've met. And you know, there's a strange, she's very compelling. And it's not for nothing that the Athenians believed in this, because they did not have knowledge of the true God. Their gods, of which there were many, were created in their image and likeness. They could not help but be attracted to them. They had a very appealing face. She didn't make moral demands on them, just demands to sacrifice. And people, you know, it had a strange compulsion to it. Now, I don't think anybody here in Kaiser has such an idol in their house or believes in Athena. But at one time, many people did. But I wonder, as we look at the Trinity, do we really appreciate the fact that we have knowledge of the one true God? How fortunate we are to live in an era where we're not misled by such nonsense, condemned to follow false gods? Or do we have false gods? We have to look in different places to find today's false gods. I can name three false gods of our Western culture. One is money and possessions. Another is power. A third is fame. Any number of people are willing to sell their souls and go down, bow down and worship at the altar of sacrifice if only they can have those three things. They're false gods. They do not last. They are fake. They give you what you want at the moment. But come back in 2,000 years, and like Athena, she's no longer there. She was never there to begin with. But it was compelling, because it gave people what they wanted at the time. For us, I'm often asked a question, which I have almost never talked about on Sunday, is why does the Catholic Church say it's a sin to miss Mass on Sunday? Talking to the wrong group, huh? But why is that? Protestant churches don't, to my knowledge, don't teach that. Why do we teach that? Is that just a man-made law? Well, there are several good reasons why one might not be able to come. I may be taking care of someone that's ill. I may be ill myself. I may be traveling and can't get to church. Don't know where it is. I could have to work on Sundays. I had to work on Sundays for years and years. And I still do, actually. It was good practice for this life, you know. But perhaps some of our number went to the beach and they said, I'll come next week, Ward. We decided to sleep in. We have a hangover or something from the beer tent last night. You know, I can't hear that beer tent at all from my house. Isn't that amazing? Last year was boom, 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 boom. Or maybe I just wanted to have waffles in the morning. You know, that's the number one reason people don't go to church on Sunday, because they want to stay in their pajamas and eat waffles. I'm just telling you what I read. These things are false gods. These things tell you that you love them more than God. And that's why it's a sin. What do I love more than God? It's a weekly test of our faith. And only you know. There's nobody going to put a gun to your head. But it can be a false god. Another false god that many of us have is called the media. Do I ever have any silence in my life? And a question I've asked many times, if I'm looking at the internet, if I'm watching a video, if I'm watching television or a movie, if I've got some music coming in from my iPod or something, and if Christ suddenly appears, would I have to change the channel or turn it off? Christ was a man of his times. He would love to sit down with you. He would. He'd sit down and enjoy that with you while you talked. But if I have to turn it off, maybe I have a false god, and I don't want to let go of it. It's not Athena, but it's compelling. It's the false god of this world. All of us are attracted to these things. It is, if God is expelled from our culture and our world and our heart, there will not be a vacuum here. Something will come rushing in. And the most likely thing to come in is materialism. We try to find our fulfillment in purchasing things or doing things or medicating things, and it can become the condemnation of following a false god. And so our Lord tells us very clearly, he said, I did not come in this world to condemn it, but to save it. Here we have this beautiful reading from John chapter 3. It's the most sublime passage of all of Scripture, and it's so Trinitarian. Did you hear the Trinity in it? For God the Father, first person of the Trinity, loved the world so much that he sent, or he gave, the sending and the giving is the Holy Spirit, the second person. He gave his only Son, the third person, so that all who believe may not be condemned, may not perish, but have eternal life. Requires faith. He's not going to prove his existence. To not know him is to be condemned to following one false god or the other. And I think perhaps the greatest false god that we're tempted to do battle with is ourselves. My will be done. What I want is important. The self-centeredness that we're kind of born with and have to work against all our lives. It's not a daily battle. It's not a one-time battle. It's a daily choice. So the Trinity is very relevant to our lives. The Trinity is what keeps everything going in this world. It is where we're headed. It is our final destination. We're all travelers from a far-off land, and we are headed home. And so let us today thank the Lord that we know him and ask him to show you this week if you have any false gods which are hindering you on this journey of life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.